This is Digital Story Podcast number 806, August 31st, 2021. Today's theme is 5 Excellent Ways to Repurpose an Aging iPad. I'm Derek Story. iPads are built to stand the test of time. Even so, we tend to upgrade them every 3 to 5 years. But what about that old friend that's still working just fine? Is there hope beyond the recycle bin? Yes, there is. And today I'm going to share with you 5 of my favorite breathe new life into an old iPad tricks. I hope you enjoy the show. So this is really fun. I have iPad Mini, and I love it. I just absolutely love it. It's my 3rd iPad Mini. I think I got the first one and then one in the middle, and then I have the latest one that's about to be replaced by a newer one, if I read the tea leaves correctly. However, I don't know if I'll be upgrading or not, but I will say that iPad Minis make excellent repurposed tools. Now, the things I'm going to talk about will work with just about any iPad, but know that when I'm working on these different DIY things, I'm using an iPad Mini. Just, you know, you can have that in your mind there. And in the show notes is going to be a picture of one of these DIY uses, right? And you'll be able to see it right there in all its glory. I just love doing things like this because, you know, they last so long. They're so good. They're so well made. Why not put them to use in a more dedicated role, right? Not the versatile, can do everything as our current tablet, but more in a dedicated role for something that is truly useful, functional, and just kind of makes our life a little bit better. Let's see if any of these following 5 things fit the bill for you in that category. All right, here we go. First one. It's a fantastic audio-visual remote control and channel guide. For the longest time, I used my iPhone to surf the channel guide for Comcast Infinity, which is fine. You know, it was good. It was little. It was kind of, you know, if I squinted, I could see everything. And then when I got the idea to use an older iPad Mini for surfing the channel guide, for, you know, Apple TV remote control, all that kind of stuff, and I could just leave it sitting there on the coffee table, wow, that changed everything. Because, you know, now when I'm holding this thing up, this iPad Mini, and I'm kind of going through, you know, what's going on tonight, if I want to find something fun to watch, it is just more pleasurable. It's easier to use. It works fantastic. There are all sorts of different apps, so you can use it for whatever, you know, cord cutting or cord service you happen to have. And then, like I said, it just sits there on the coffee table and it's always there, ready to use. You punch the button and it brings you right up to what you're going to be doing. If you just want to test this, take your current tablet, go ahead and load up the apps for the services that you use, and just take a look at it and compare it to your phone, and you'll see what I mean. It's really nice. It's very luxurious. And I think that if you try it, you'll probably have a hard time going back. All right, so that's the first one, a fantastic audio-visual remote and channel guide. The second one, this one's crazy, a DIY CarPlay unit for older vehicles. So the way that this came about is that as I started hanging out in other people's newer cars, and they all had this cool LCD screen, and they could run CarPlay or Android Auto or whatever they, you know, happened to be doing, I was just going, boy, isn't that nice? And I have a 2007 Audi A3. You've heard about it before. It's a car that I really like. It's a car that I probably will never sell. That's my guess right now. I'll probably never sell it because I like it so much. I just love the way it's designed. I love the interior, exterior, the whole deal. It's a S-Line model, so it's got all sorts of nice little features that make it fun to drive. But it doesn't have that cool LCD screen that the newer cars are sporting these days. An iPad Mini mounted in a Padcaster, that's what they're called, Padcasters, which are these really hip aluminum frames that hold the iPad mini. And then they have, you know, places, tripod socket holes and all sorts of stuff so that you can adapt other things to it. Now, originally, the Padcasters were designed for AV so that you could turn your iPad into basically a portable studio. You could have microphones mounted and headphone jacks and all that kind of stuff. But it looks so industrially cool and it fits so nicely with the interior of the Audi that I mount an iPad mini in there. And that's what I'm going to have the picture of that goes with the podcast. You mount it in there and then suddenly you have this very nice looking LCD and you can just run the apps like navigation that you normally would in CarPlay, just run it right there on the iPad mini. And instead of squinting at some little phone screen that you have mounted with a suction cup that is probably more dangerous to use than you realize, now you can have this nice big screen, just like on a modern car, mounted where you want. And wow, it makes a big difference. It's that same sort of big difference that I was talking about when you use it as a channel surfing guide. So anyway, so number two is a DIY CarPlay LCD screen for older vehicles. Oh, and by the way, if your iPad, you know, that you're using, if you decide to try this, doesn't have cellular built into it, which is, you know, kind of nice for this purpose, especially for navigation, just remember that you can enable personal hotspot on your phone and then have that Wi-Fi iPad lock into that and use that for navigation. So it's an extra step. It's not too bad. It doesn't take too long. And when you're going on a trip, it doesn't make much difference because the time invested is small compared to the reward. But just know that you have that option just in case your iPad doesn't have cellular built into it. Number three, the ultimate kitchen companion. Again, this is one where you're going to want to get a nice looking stand for the iPad because that's what really makes it. But once you have it set up, this is the perfect recipe mate. You know, just pull that recipe up. And because you can use your fingers, you know, you don't have to use a keyboard or anything, just use your fingers to navigate. So you can use it for recipes. You can use it as a Netflix streamer while you're in the kitchen working away. And it's just an all-around useful kitchen companion. And I think the touchscreen really enhances this. You don't have to worry about gooking up a keyboard. And the fact that it isn't your primary A1 tablet, I think makes it a little bit better as well. Because yes, your fingers are going to have flour on them sometimes, or maybe a little dish soap or whatever. And it won't hurt the iPad. I mean, unless you get water actually in it. But on the screen, it won't hurt the iPad. It'll kind of muck it up a little bit here and there. But it's your kitchen iPad, so it's okay. So just every now and then, you clean it up when you're cleaning up everything in the kitchen and off to the races you go. But having that ultimate kitchen companion that you don't have to worry about, super handy, very fun. And again, I think the key to it is getting a stand that really works for this purpose. If you get the right stand, I mean, you don't want the iPad just lying there on the counter. You want to get a cool stand for it, you know, so it's really useful, it's really visible, and it looks good with all the other neat gadgets that you have in your kitchen. So that's number three, the ultimate kitchen companion. Number four, a digital picture frame. Now, you're going to go, well, that isn't really mind-boggling. But here's the key to this. Here's the key. A digital picture frame that you actually put the iPad in a nice frame. This is the step that people don't do sometimes. They go, well, I'll just use my iPad as a digital picture frame and it'll be cool. And it just looks like pictures streaming on a tablet when you do that, right? I mean, which is okay, don't get me wrong. However, if you want this to be truly a digital picture frame, then make the extra effort to get a frame that you like, mount the iPad in the frame, and then use it. It changes the whole dynamic. It changes everything. Now, if you can't find a frame that, you know, out of the box works for your iPad, here's what I would do. Get a frame that you like that's a little bit bigger, get some mats, right? And then use the mat and mount the iPad with the mat. Now, this can make your pictures look even better because especially, you know, if you get a double mat, you know, with nice bevel cuts and everything, and you have your iPad in there and that's in the nice picture frame, you really have something that's pretty excellent. Very excellent, in fact. So don't skip this step. This is what makes it. Get a nice picture frame. If you need to, get some mats. You know, make it look pretty. And then set that on the table or then hang that on the wall. And then, of course, then you can set it up and you can show whatever pictures you want. You can modify them, all the stuff that we know how to do. I would use photos for most of this. It's very, very nice, and it's a whole different ball game when you do the extra work with the frame and the matting. And number five, an outstanding radio tuner. I don't know how much radio you listen to. We've kind of become streaming music through the different services that we subscribe to. But radio has a certain serendipity about it that I really enjoy. And the other thing that I've noticed about radio, for me anyway, is getting local news as opposed to national news. The local news for me is far less depressing because it's focused more on my community, more on my city, more on my county. Yes, we're dealing with issues, of course, but they're things that I'm more involved in or that I have a chance to be a part of or impact, as opposed to this national news situation that a lot of times we just see these terrible things happening in other parts of the country or in other parts of the world, and we can't do anything about it. And it's very frustrating, at least it is for me. So one of the things that I like about radio, and I do have radio in my listening mix, is because I can get radio stations that are a little bit closer to home. The news is a little bit more tailored to me. And then there's the whole thing with the personalities, you know, on the radio station, and you find personalities that you like. That's very enjoyable. That adds to the whole thing. The serendipity nature of the music, the whole deal. So radio is something that sometimes is a joy to rediscover if you haven't listened to it for a while. And an older iPad is a perfect way to do this. Now, the app that I've been using for it is MyTuner, one word, MyTuner Radio. And it's a pretty nice app. I know there are lots of them out there that allow you to, you know, browse all sorts of different radio stations that have internet channels. You know, find the one that you like. But using the iPad, your extra iPad, as a dedicated radio tuner is a very enjoyable way to do it. There's lots of flexibility there. You add a Bluetooth speaker or two, you really get some excellent sound, and it's a fun little setup, all right? And that's my number five repurpose for an aging iPad. So there you go. Those are my favorites right there. Fantastic audio-visual remote with channel guide, DIY CarPlay unit for older vehicles, ultimate kitchen companion, digital picture frame, but you got to put it in a frame, and an outstanding radio tuner. You know what? You got to try one of these, even if it isn't on an older iPad. Just try it on your current iPad to get a feel for how much fun these can be. Now, if you're an Inner Circle member, the fun continues past this podcast. And what do I mean by that? Well, what I've done is there's a post on our Patreon site right now for you, Inner Circle members. This is just for you. There's a post right there, and we can add to the fun here. In other words, it would be great if you would share your favorite DIY, not hack, but tip for using an older tablet. I mean, I would love to hear, because you're going to think of stuff that I would never even dream of. What we're going to do is we're going to judge those. You know, all you have to do is add it as a comment to the post I have on our Inner Circle site. We're going to judge those. And then the person that is judged to having the coolest tip or the best tip or the most useful tip, then we have an iPad Mini 2, a beautiful iPad Mini 2 in the box with the charger, the whole deal. It's in great shape, and a Bluetooth keyboard cover case that goes with it, that is going to be awarded to the person that comes up with the judged best tip. So Inner Circle members, this is a nice little bonus for you. And then what I'll do is I'll share that winning tip back on this podcast, probably in about 2 weeks. For those of you who aren't Inner Circle members, you'll still get to hear what the winning tip is. Alrighty, lots of fun stuff. Inner Circle members, thank you so much for supporting this podcast and our community. All right, so that's it for me on repurposing iPads. I hope you enjoyed those tips. And Inner Circle members, I look forward to the bonus tip that we're going to be sharing with our audience. Thanks to you. Our first writing workshop, I talked about this last week for the first time, really. I'm going to revisit it today. It's called Writing for Artists Who Want to Publish or Just Become Better Writers, right? This online workshop is designed to help photographers and all types of creatives improve their writing skills for online sites, including publications such as Medium.com. It's also useful for a business environment as well, because improved clarity in writing often translates into successful business interactions. So this is going to be fun. It's going to start in December. This is a December workshop. We're going to meet once a week online via Zoom. You're going to have access to our online workshop site. You'll be able to ask questions, share ideas, post pieces of your work, samples of your work, all sorts of good stuff. I think it's going to be very, very enjoyable. I know I'm looking forward to it. The writer in me is just dying to be working with other writers. And we're going to have a great time. We have a good crew already signed up, but we still have some open seats. If you want to sign up, all you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on workshops, and you'll see it right there. And I have a link to it in the show notes. Enhance. Google researchers detail new method for upscaling low-resolution images with impressive results. Yes, that was the title. That was just the title. Practically most of the story there, wouldn't you say? You can read this entire article on DP Review. I thought it was fascinating. These technologies to improve our ability to sample up lower resolution images just keep getting better and better. And here is the latest example of that. Let me read you some of this from the article. Thanks to CSI, as well as plenty of other crime dramas, the phrase enhance has taken on life of its own as a tongue-in-cheek way of attempting to digitally extract extra information from low-resolution images that simply isn't feasible in real-world situations. Or is it? A new blog post on the Google AI blog showcases a new technology. It's developed to upscale low-resolution images with incredible results. The blog post titled High Fidelity Image Generation Using Diffusion Models explains how Google researchers have developed a pair of AI technologies that can take low-resolution image and steadily increase the resolution through selective destruction and reconstruction of the original input image. The first component of this process is a super resolution via repeated refinements, otherwise known as SR3, a super resolution diffusion model that takes as input low resolution image and builds a corresponding high resolution image from pure noise. In essence, this model applies a pure Gaussian noise to a low resolution image before using noise reduction technologies to effectively reconstruct a nearly noiseless image that's four times the resolution of the input. According to Google, this new technology achieves strong benchmark results on the super resolution task for face and natural images when scaling two resolutions four times to eight times that of the original input low resolution image. As visible from the above illustration, they have a picture in there. This means that a 64 by 64 pixel image, a thumbnail at best, can output an impressively clear 10 by 24 pixel image. And you really should take a look at the article if you're interested in this. I know we have different technologies available to us now. This looks like another serious contender. And the fact of the matter is that now our low-resolution images from the past have new life. We can use them to even make prints now, thanks to these technologies. They're fun to play with, and sometimes they're even mind-blowing. This is the latest from Google. If you like this stuff, I would definitely check this out. Just as a note, before I get to our virtual camera club news, I'm going to be heading out tomorrow, actually, if you listen to this on Tuesday. I'm going to be heading out to Maui. I have a place that I get to stay there, and I haven't been there for a while, and I haven't been anywhere for a while, really. And I'm really looking forward to going. And those of you who are signed up for our infrared photography workshop, our online workshop that's coming up later in September, guess what? I'm going to be shooting in Hawaii. It's going to be fun. I'm taking my converted camera for infrared photography. I'm going to take it to Hawaii, and I'm going to be doing IR photography on Maui. And I can't wait. I love taking pictures there anyway. It's just such a fun place for photography. But I have never even dreamed of before, you know, I got involved in all this stuff of taking an IR camera to Maui and working with all those cool palm trees and stuff. I will tell you, of all the subjects I shoot in infrared, palm trees are some of my favorite. They just work great in IR. They have, I don't know, the right amount of chlorophyll or what's going on with them. And then they're usually, you know, against a nice looking sky. And this all just comes together. So I've got the camera all ready to go. I have all my filters. And it'll be something that I'll be able to talk about when we start our infrared workshop later this month. Those of you that are signed up, you're already in our online site, so I'll probably post some things there prior to the beginning of the workshop, and I'm just really looking forward to it. In addition to everything else, I'm very much looking forward to it. And then the other note on this, the other part of this, is that I will be doing our next podcast from Maui. So I have my portable rig and all that. It will have a little different vibe and feel than this one. It might not be quite as long as our regular podcast, but it will be from the island, and you'll probably want to tune in and see what I'm up to. So that's what's coming next week. All righty, let's get to our virtual camera club news. Big thanks to our Inner Circle members. Thank you so much, those that support this podcast week in and week out. And remember, Inner Circle members, go over to our Patreon site, check out that post that I put up there about DIYs for the iPad, for reusing an older iPad. Post your favorite there. Throw your hat in the ring. As I said, the best DIY will receive an iPad mini in the box with the charger and a Bluetooth keyboard. Very nice. By the way, the iPad mini and keyboard were supplied to us, donated by Kelly Richards, who is an Inner Circle member herself. She's an Inner Circle member herself. I have a link to her website if you want to learn more about Kelly. But a big thanks to Kelly for donating the iPad mini and the keyboard and for kind of kickstarting, you know, this whole podcast. Kelly, you rock. And also really glad to have you as an Inner Circle member. I have a new article going up on Medium.com soon. If you've been following my writing on Medium, you'll know that I cover stuff that I don't cover on The Digital Story. The last one was very interesting to me anyway, where I talked about using full-frame lenses on a medium format Fujifilm GFX 100S and how well they perform. So I'm using these $75 and $100 vintage Nikon full-frame lenses on the state-of-the-art digital medium format camera and getting really nice results. So I talk about that on medium.com. I have sample images there as well. And I talk about the workflow that I use to get good images using this combination. Just as a side note, lenses for those medium format cameras usually start about $2,000 each. They're very expensive. I have one right now that I'm getting to use. I love it. It's the 80 millimeter F1.7. It's a beautiful lens, but I can't afford too many of those. This led me to learning and figuring out this system of repurposing 35 millimeter full frame lenses. Now I have a wide variety of optics to use with this camera, and I'm telling you, I'm having a great time. So that is the previous Medium article, and if you like this sort of stuff, go over to medium.com, check it out. You can just search on my name, my whole author's profile will come up, and you can see the entire list of 40 plus articles that I've published there. I want to mention the donation kit that I have. For those who would like to donate a film camera, to the film camera shop. If you have a camera that's not being used, a 35 millimeter film camera that maybe you just discovered or you know is socked away somewhere or was given to you by a relative or a friend, I can put it to great use. I tell you, I have a very hard time keeping refurbished film cameras on the site. They just burn. I get them on there and I'm feeling all good. I got three or four cameras on this week and then 3 days later, they're all gone. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that there's a real thirst for these kinds of cameras from the people that visit the film camera shop. If you'd like to donate one, just use the contact form on thenimblephotographer.com. Let me know what you have. I have a donation kit where you get the box, you get the label, you get everything. Basically, all you got to do is pack the stuff in the box, put the label on that I supply, and then just let USPS know to pick it up next time they deliver your mail. A big thanks to those who have donated in the past. I truly appreciate it. And as I said, if you've got something that you want to find a new home for, let me know and we'll take it from there. And finally, a huge shout out to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. I have requests for prints. My print queue is starting to fill up. And when I get back from the islands, I'm actually going to set aside an entire day for printing. And I can't tell you how much fun those days are. Those are the days that I feel like I'm really an artist. You know, I brew a pot of coffee. I have a whole pot of coffee ready to go. Fire up the printer. Make sure I have enough ink. Get my Red River paper out, you know, the different surfaces and stuff, and just start printing. And next thing I know, the day's over. And I'll tell you, when I go home after a day of printing, I feel satisfied as a photographer. I really do. If you're interested in having that same sort of feeling, then go to Red River Paper. All you have to do is click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. They have everything that you need there, all sorts of paper, ink, tutorials, creative ideas, you name it, it's on that website. And they also have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. And a big thanks to them for sponsoring this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I'm off to the Hawaiian Islands. Next time I talk to you, it will be from Maui. Until then, have a great week. Stay creative. Stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.